chapter 15. I'm going to start reading at verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. Well-known story. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. One man I read after said the original language is right there, indicate that he smothered him with kisses. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, I'm glad this morning that you have given to us the Word of God to explain to us who you are and what kind of God you are. And in this story, we see you so clearly in your love and compassion toward sinners. And I pray that you'd help us this morning to get a hold of the message that Jesus intended to convey to us. And I pray that it would affect our hearts. Somebody would come home to Jesus. Lord, may this be a glorious service in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning from this very familiar passage of Scripture on remembering the Father's address. I just read to you what's been called the greatest short story in the world. And I wouldn't argue with that. It was narrated by Jesus to his enemies who had criticized his association with publicans and sinners. And in this story, Jesus illustrated the constant love of God for sinners. Constant love of God for sinners. The Father in this story represents God the Father. And His love for sinners was being demonstrated on earth by the actions and attitude of His Son, Jesus Christ. And this youngest son in the story represents the fallen human race. Sinners of all stripes and kinds. Anybody who's ever been a sinner, that's you right here. Hallelujah. You are this son. So, I want us to see several things in this story this morning. I want us to see, first of all, a broken relationship. Secondly, we're going to see a failed experiment. And thirdly, a joyful reunion. And first of all, we'll look at this broken relationship in this story. In my story, the story that Jesus told us, the youngest son decided to leave his father. He asked for his inheritance ahead of time. being the youngest son, his two boys, being the youngest son, he receives a third of the inheritance. For in those days, in Bible days, the eldest son receives the double portion of the inheritance because it was his responsibility to take care of his parents. So he was given a double portion of the inheritance. This boy received a third of the inheritance. And the reason he asked for his inheritance was he was planning to leave home. The Bible says after he received it, not long afterwards, he left home. He left father. Now there was nothing wrong with his father. There was no lack of love. There was no lack of provision in that home. His father loved him. His father provided for him. His father was good to him. This son did not leave home because there was something wrong with his father. He left home because there was something wrong in him. He was dissatisfied with his father, not because there was anything wrong with the father. He was dissatisfied with his father because there was something wrong in him. And so, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Man's distance from God, his alienation from God, is not really the result of careless wandering, but it's the result of willful wandering. This boy made up his mind to go away from home. It was a willful wandering away from God. We've wandered. All we like sheep have gone astray. But we turned everyone to his own way. We made a willful choice to walk away from God. And so our separation from God and our alienation from God is the result of our willful wandering away from God. Now this boy decided to leave home and leave his father. But in this story, we tend to focus on the misfortunes of the son. But Jesus did not tell us this story for us to focus on the misfortunes of the son. But the real purpose that Jesus told this story is for us to focus on the Father, his hurt at the loss of his son, and his joy at receiving that son when he came back home. That's the real purpose of this story, is for us to focus on the hurt and the joy of this Father. You know, we speak a whole lot of the needs of hurting people, but almost never do we hear people speak about a hurting God. But I'm telling you, that's what this story is about, is a hurting God. And we feel sorry for that son. We know he fell into misfortune. But really, Jesus is wanting us to see that there was a father back home that was hurting because his son had walked away from the Father. It was our choice to break the relationship with God who created us, who loved us, and provided for us. We sometimes yawn over the decision made by our loved ones and friends to cut God out of their life. But listen to me now. For God, it's no minor matter. You know, you don't watch somebody that you love intensely walk out of your life and not be affected by it. And this father loved this boy intensely. And when he decided to walk out of the life of his father was deeply affected by this son's decision to cut father out of his life. You know, the choices that we make to walk away from God, the choices that we make to cut God out of our life, and every one of us at some time made that choice, and that we would not have God part of our life, And we willfully chose our own way. And because of that, God hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Our choice crushed Christ on the cross. I'm telling you, it cost heaven because of the choice that we made to walk away from God. Our choice crushed Christ on that cross. And I'm telling you that God was deeply affected by the decisions that we made to walk away from God. Sometimes I'm reminded, I think about Sir Isaac Newton, the story I read about him some years ago. Isaac Newton was one of the world's greatest scientists. He lived hundreds of years ago. And he was working for hours and days and weeks on a certain project. He was taking notes, doing experiments, enduring exhausting study. He had a pet dog that sat by his side day after day and week after week as he studied and recorded his results. One day, he walked away from his desk momentarily, and the dog got up to follow him. The dog inadvertently bumped into the desk, knocked over the candle, and set the papers on fire. When Isaac Newton got back, put out the fire and surveyed the scene and saw the destruction, all of that work that he had been doing for weeks and weeks, the painful experimentation, the nights that he'd set up and worked and made notes and all the details that he'd gone through, it was all gone. And he was crushed. His heart was broken. But after he extinguished the fire, he sat down in his chair, put his face in his hands, and wept. And reached down and petted his dog at his side. And he said to him, "You will never, never know what you have done." And I want to say to you, you will never, never know what you have done when you walked away from the Son of God and shut the Father out of your life. You won't ever fully know what you did when you did that. I'm telling you, brother, it affected this father deeply when his son made the choice to cut Father out of his life. Sometimes we're like that unsuspecting animal. We are unaware of the catastrophe that's caused by our rejection of God. Secondly, I want to talk to you about a failed experiment. This youngest son moved some distance away from Father to try to make it on his own. The Bible says he went to a far country, a country far away from Father. He exchanged a world full of Father for a world without Father. And now then he can no longer see Father. He can no longer hear Father. And he can no longer talk to Father. Are y'all hearing me? I mean, in this far country, he cannot see Him, nor hear Him, nor talk to Him. And he fancied himself independent of his Father. This was the world he chose. A world without Father. He cannot hear Him, see Him, nor talk to Him. And this is what he wanted. If he fancied, this is what I want. A world without Father. What he did not realize, and what many of you don't realize, is that this boy was still living on the gifts Father had given him. And you know, every day we take breath that God gave us. And we live on the strength He gave us. And we work on the help that He gave us. We think we're going to cut Him out of our life. But we're living our life on the gifts that God has placed in our life. We're not independent of Him. We may want to be independent of Him. But we're not independent of God. We live on the gifts that God places in our life. And God has blessed us. And our Father has visited us in mercy. And we live every day by the breath that God puts in us. He's living on the inheritance Father has given him. And in this far country, he's no longer consulting Father's will, but he is following the dictates of his own passions. He's being ruled by base desires. And in following those base desires, a party animal, pleasure, living it up, or at least he thinks so. But he finds out what all men of the world discover eventually. The pleasures in sin only last for a season. And he found that out. And I want to tell you, everybody who tries it finds out that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. This life of the prodigal followed the pattern of sinful men's life. It went from pleasure to panic. He found himself cut off from the source of his pleasure. His money is gone, his friends are gone, and the land is enduring a famine, and he went from pleasure to panic. He don't have anything to eat, he don't have any money, he don't have any friends. And everybody comes to that point in life. I'm telling you, one of the most striking consequences of this prodigal's tragic journey is the experience of absolute loneliness in a far country. He came to a point where there was nobody to answer his plea. There was nobody to give him what he needed. No friends around him. All by himself in a pig pen, feeding the pigs and feeding the hogs. And everybody in sin sometimes comes to that point of absolute loneliness because we cut God out of our life. He's feeding the pigs. He's starving. He has nobody to help him. Nobody to love him in that far country. And in the past, he had cut Father out of his life. And listen to me now. In the past, he had cut Father out of his life. And now the people in that far country have cut him out of their lives. And he is a lonely individual. And this experience of loneliness is common to fallen man. We live in a world populated by over 6 billion people. And you'd be surprised what a great percentage of those people are lonely this very morning. They're lonely because they cut out of their life the most important person in all the world. They cut God out of their life. I'm telling you, brother, some point, somewhere, you're going to need the love of God in your life. He cut the Father out. Now he's lonely. Nobody to love him in that far country. And he's aware that nobody is walking with him on the path that he chose. You see, he forsook the only one. Get me now. He forsook the only one who promised, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." When you walk away from Father, when you forsake Father, you forsake the only one who can give you this promise, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Oh, God, I'm telling you, God does not forsake you. You walk away from Him. You forsake Him. You cut Him out of your life. God does not forsake us. We who created us, who loved us, and provided for us. We sometimes yawn over the decision made by our loved ones and friends to cut God out of their life. But listen to me now. For God, it's no minor matter. You know, you don't watch somebody that you love intensely walk out of your life and not be affected by it. And this father loved this boy intensely. And when he decided to walk out of the life of his father was deeply affected by this son's decision to cut Father out of his life. You know, the choices that we make to walk away from God, the choices that we make to cut God out of our life, and every one of us at some time made that choice, and that we would not have God part of our life, And we willfully chose our own way. And because of that, God hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Our choice crushed Christ on the cross. I'm telling you, it cost heaven because of the choice that we made to walk away from God. Our choice crushed Christ on that cross. And I'm telling you that God was deeply affected by the decisions that we made to walk away from God. Sometimes I'm reminded, I think about Sir Isaac Newton, the story I read about him some years ago. Isaac Newton was one of the world's greatest scientists. He lived hundreds of years ago. And he was working for hours and days and weeks on a certain project. He was taking notes, doing experiments, enduring exhausting study. He had a pet dog that sat by his side day after day and week after week as he studied and recorded his results. One day, he walked away from his desk momentarily, and the dog got up to follow him. The dog inadvertently bumped into the desk, knocked over the candle, and set the papers on fire. When Isaac Newton got back, put out the fire and surveyed the scene and saw the destruction, all of that work that he had been doing for weeks and weeks, the painful experimentation, the nights that he'd set up and worked and made notes and all the details that he'd gone through, it was all gone. And he was crushed. His heart was broken. But after he extinguished the fire, he sat down in his chair, put his face in his hands, and wept. And reached down and petted his dog at his side. And he said to him, "You will never, never know what you have done." And I want to say to you, you will never, never know what you have done when you walked away from the Son of God and shut the Father out of your life. You won't ever fully know what you did when you did that. I'm telling you, brother, it affected this father deeply when his son made the choice to cut Father out of his life. Sometimes we're like that unsuspecting animal. We are unaware of the catastrophe that's caused by our rejection of God. Secondly, I want to talk to you about a failed experiment. This youngest son moved some distance away from Father to try to make it on his own. The Bible says he went to a far country, a country far away from Father. He exchanged a world full of Father for a world without Father. And now then he can no longer see Father. He can no longer hear Father. And he can no longer talk to Father. Are y'all hearing me? I mean, in this far country, he cannot see Him, nor hear Him, nor talk to Him. And he fancied himself independent of his Father. This was the world he chose. A world without Father. He cannot hear Him, see Him, nor talk to Him. And this is what he wanted. If he fancied, this is what I want. A world without Father. What he did not realize, and what many of you don't realize, is that this boy was still living on the gifts Father had given him. And you know, every day we take breath that God gave us. And we live on the strength He gave us. And we work on the help that He gave us. We think we're going to cut Him out of our life. But we're living our life on the gifts that God has placed in our life. We're not independent of Him. We may want to be independent of Him. But we're not independent of God. We live on the gifts that God places in our life. And God has blessed us. And our Father has visited us in mercy. And we live every day by the breath that God puts in us. He's living on the inheritance Father has given him. And in this far country, he's no longer consulting Father's will, but he is following the dictates of his own passions. He's being ruled by base desires. And in following those base desires, a party animal, pleasure, living it up, or at least he thinks so. But he finds out what all men of the world discover eventually. The pleasures in sin only last for a season. And he found that out. And I want to tell you, everybody who tries it finds out that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. This life of the prodigal followed the pattern of sinful men's life. It went from pleasure to panic. He found himself cut off from the source of his pleasure. His money is gone. His friends are gone. And the land is enduring a famine. And he went from pleasure to panic. He don't have anything to eat. He don't have any money. He don't have any friends. And everybody comes to that point in life. I'm telling you, one of the most striking consequences of this prodigal's tragic journey is the experience of absolute loneliness in a far country. He came to a point where there was nobody to answer his plea. There was nobody to give him what he needed. No friends around him. All by himself in a pig pen, feeding the pigs and feeding the hogs. And everybody in sin sometimes comes to that point of absolute loneliness because we cut God out of our life. He's feeding the pigs. He's starving. He has nobody to help him. Nobody to love him in that far country. And in the past, he had cut Father out of his life. And listen to me now. In the past, he had cut Father out of his life. And now the people in that far country have cut him out of their lives. And he is a lonely individual. And this experience of loneliness is common to fallen man. We live in a world populated by over 6 billion people. And you'd be surprised what a great percentage of those people are lonely this very morning. They're lonely because they cut out of their life the most important person in all the world. They cut God out of their life. I'm telling you, brother, some point, somewhere, you're going to need the love of God in your life. He cut the Father out. Now he's lonely. Nobody to love him in that far country. He is aware that nobody is walking with him on the path that he chose. You see, he forsook the only one. Get me now. He forsook the only one who promised, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." When you walk away from Father, when you forsake Father, you forsake the only one who can give you this promise, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Oh, God, I'm telling you, God does not forsake you. You walk away from Him. You forsake Him. You cut Him out of your life. God does not forsake us. We forsake Him. This journey that we're on this morning, listen to me, this journey that you and I are on, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to need God. Oh, yeah. You don't think so. You think you're making it just fine without Him. You've cut Him out of your life. You think you're making it just fine. You're eating good. You're sleeping good. You've got money in the bank. You buy anything you want. But there's coming a time. You're hearing me now. There's coming a time you're going to need the Father that you cut out of your life. I'm telling you, that journey into eternity without God is man's greatest terror. I said the journey into eternity without God is man's greatest terror. And someday you're going to be at that point where you're going to cross from this world into the next world. And if you've cut God out of your life, and hear me now, you may think that's a long ways away from me, but you don't know if it might be this morning. The preacher that supposed was going to be here to preach to you this morning is not here because his niece, 14 years old, was suddenly taken into eternity. I'm telling you, it could happen to any of us here this morning. And it's a lonely journey when you don't have God to walk with you from this world to the next. And it's the man's greatest terror to face eternity without God. He cut the father out. And now then he's a lonely man. But then I want to talk to you about a joyful reunion. Thank God that this story does not end in tragedy. Oh God, there's been a lot of stories ended in tragedy. But thank God this story does not end in tragedy. This story ends in a joyful reunion. In the midst of his crisis, hungry, starving, no friends, this boy comes to himself. And the Bible, when the Bible says he comes to himself, it means he came to his senses. You see, people out there in that far country are not at themselves. Young people, if you're out there pursuing the path of sin, and you're pursuing the pleasures of sin, you're not in your right mind. You're not in your right senses. God wants you to come to your senses this morning. He wants you to realize that you've cut out of your life the most important person in your life. He began to remember his father. In this crisis, he began to remember his father. There's a change came over this boy. He began to think favorably about his father. Hear me now. You hear me? He began to think favorably about his father. Now, he left home because he was thinking bad about his father. But he began to think favorably about his father. This is what he thought. He remembered, my father's servants are treated good. Woo! Hey, my father's servants are treated good. They've got food. They've got clothes. They've got something to drink. My father's servants are treated good. He begins to remember his father favorably. My father's so good that even the servants in the household are treated good. Now he's a hired servant himself. But look how he's being treated. He's starving to death. He's feeding the pigs and would have eaten what he fed the pigs. You see, he says, my father's not like this. Hey, here I am starving to death. I'm a hired servant and nobody will help me. My father's not like this. And my father's hired servants are well taken care of. Here's the reason now. Here is the reason why that many of you will not go home is because you don't think favorably about God. God wants to change your mind about Him. He wants you to understand how wonderful and kind and good and generous God is to us. And this boy, he came to himself and said, hey, my father's hired servants are doing good and I'm dying down here in this pig pen. Thank God he remembered his father's address. Hallelujah. He said, I believe I'll go back home. I'll tell Daddy, no, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just put me to work as one of the hired servants. He started on the journey home. He remembered his father's address because father had never moved. Oh, I love it. I said, father had never moved. He was right where he left him. Woo! I tell you, brother, if you've walked away from him, I want to tell you where you can find him. Right where you left him. He didn't forget Father's address. Father was right where he left him. He started home. He started home. I don't know. I know I'm not worthy. But if Father would just let me be one of the hired servants, it'll be better for me in Father's house if I'm just one of the hired servants. Just let me get back home. So he started home. He not only found Father at the same address, but get this. He found out, y'all hear me, he found out that Father's love for him was undiminished by time. He found out that Father's love for him was undiminished by how he had lived and what he had done. He found out that Father loved him just as good after all he had done. He found out that Father had been waiting on him to come back home. His disgusting lifestyle, his profligate lifestyle, his throwing away his money on harlots, money his father had given him as inheritance. Oh, my brother, can you imagine? Can you get a hold of this? Can you understand who God is? And can you understand the nature of our God? Oh, God help us. And God, our Heavenly Father, in spite of all the wickedness of our lives, that His love for us is undiminished by our foolishness and wickedness. He found out that his Father's love was unconditional. It didn't matter what he'd done. Didn't matter where he'd gone, how long he'd been away. Father's love for him was unconditional. You know, Father was still missing him. I said, Father was still missing him. He looked and saw him way down the road. That looks like my boy. It walks like my boy. That is my boy. And he went running to meet him, fell on his neck and kissed him, welcomed him home, put that ring on him that was a symbol of authority in the home. He put that robe on him. He put shoes on his feet. Hired servants didn't wear shoes. You know, this is what he told his father. I want you to just make me a hired servant. I'm not worthy to be your son. And the father said, servants, bring him a pair of shoes. Servants don't wear shoes. Sons wear shoes. Put a robe on this boy. Put shoes on his feet. I want you to go get that fatted calf down there and kill that fatted calf. And we're going to have a celebration because my son has come home. Now I want to tell you, I'm telling you this morning that God misses you. Oh, I said he misses you. But here's my question. Do you miss him? Do you miss the Father? While Sister Judy comes to the piano, I read this story some years ago of a man by the name of Charles Templeton. He was a friend of Billy Graham's in their youth, both of them preachers. And this man was considered by some to be even more talented than Billy Graham as a preacher. He was very successful. But over time, Satan began to work on his mind. Began to put doubts in his mind about God. Eventually, he became an atheist. a bitter atheist. One that began to try to persuade other people. The people he had once tried to persuade that there was a real God that loved them and provided salvation for them. Now he began to try to persuade them there was no God. A bitter advocate of atheism. As an old man dying with a disease, he was visited by Lee Strobel. Some of you may know of Lee Strobel. He's written several books, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for Creation, so forth. He went to see this man to interview him. And as he talked to him, Templeton explained to Strobel why he could not believe there was a God. Strobel asked him, "Would you like to believe?" He said, "I would love to believe, but I cannot believe." After questioning for a while, Strobel asked him this question, "What do you think about Jesus? What's your opinion of Jesus?" Templeton got quiet. Then he began to talk, soft tones. He began to describe Jesus in glowing terms. He said he's unique. He's the greatest man that ever lived. He went on and on describing how wonderful Jesus was. As he was describing Jesus, his voice broke. He was embarrassed. But he said, "If I may say so, I miss him." I read that, it broke my heart. Oh God, this man misses Jesus because only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longings of a man's soul. "I miss him," he said. I don't know if Templeton's alive or dead. I don't know if he ever found Jesus. I don't know. But I'm telling you this morning, you can find him. He's available. He's got the same address that he's always had. And if you'll come in faith and you'll come repenting, I promise you, you can find him right where you left him. I want us to stand together this morning. I